Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights are around the table, green dots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights are around the table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm
up. In the wood, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. And I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43 my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stop us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raised on shotgun, we say...
Anyway, I got through a picture of a nifty little mouse in a maze. I'll just go over on the Awake Radio chat room. See, that's the good thing about the Super Chat HTML. You get to talk to two different groups at once. And so it looks like they're not really hopping over there right at the moment. But the first picture link that I put up there is a mouse and a cheese in the maze right there. So you see the little mouse, he's looking around for the cheese, and the little cheese has a look of worry on his face that the mouse might find him. It's probably going to get ate up or something like that. And the next link on down there is another little short video to a mouse in the maze. Watch, try to figure out a way to get in and out of that doggone thing there. And then my favorite, you know, I can remember way back in those so-called school systems out there, the indoctrination centers that we were shoved off into. More like little mini prisons, if you ask me. But you watch everybody as they're walking around through the school, and you know, everybody's got to follow the rules and all that kind of stuff, and it's, you know, repetitive over and over every day. It's pretty much the same deal. You know, you go and do what you do, and you get shuffled from one classroom to the next, and then finally, after a while, it starts to grind on you. I remember, like, third grade, sitting in third grade, on sitting at the desk, and I'm thinking, my God, I got quite a few years before I ever graduate from school. I think I even broke out in tears, man. I was like, you know what I mean? It's aggravating, you know. Instead of somebody just saying, hey, look, man, here's your cheese, and you know, you just go straight to the cheese and get it over with. Now it had to been a long, dragged out aggravation of epic proportions. In the meantime, you got all these little factions here and there that are trying to divert you away from the cheese. Does that kind of sound like reality to some extent?
What are they trying to say? Try our artificial cream cheese, because it's much better than that actual nice real cheese over there.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. If that's not real cheese, we want cream cheese, the processed stuff that comes out of a vat of something.
Yeah, I had this big old debate with my wife one time, because she's all into saving money and everything, and so she would buy this sliced cheese, this processed or whatever, I don't know, but it tastes like a orange piece of rubber or something, you know. It really didn't have much flavor to it. No, it wasn't cheesy. It was more like greasy, and it just wasn't something I was too awful hip on. Scientific groups out there that are trying to basically open up dimensional portholes and such, and trying to figure out ways to either bring something in or send something out, whatever, you know. Hold on. Hello.
Oh, he's...
You're killing me. It's dark. Dumped out an entire call. Buddy. Are you there? All right.
Yep, you're breaking up this morning.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm having technical difficulties. Can you add Steve to the call, please?
Turn it up.
Singing songs about Southland.
All right, everybody, we're back, and we've been kind of in and out. There's that whole internet service issue going on, I guess. I don't know. Maybe the folks out there don't like the mice talking about the maize and the cheese kind of episode. But, you know, whenever you find out that you're nothing more than the mouse and the maize searching for the cheese, sometimes it gets a little bit on the frustrating side. And what sparked off this conversation anyway? It was a comment that was posted in the chat room. I was watching a video on Flat Earth, the new punk. So I wonder if I send up a billion balloons with GPS tracking, where they will end up, or solar-powered drones, or both. And if the Earth is in an infinite plane of ponds, would it be like the Land of the Lost with woolly mammoths and such? Do aliens live at the furthest side? Because I am curious. I will find out real soon. I love a good adventure, and even though mystery gives me a headache, I like that as well. Maybe I don't want to know the truth. I may be disappointed to find out that everything that ever was is a complete and utter lie. And so what makes me so important to the big picture that someone would spend their time and energy to deceive me and my whole life? Or worse yet, is this all in my mind and nothing? Not only did I create it all and deceive myself into believing it was all real, yikes, this is worse than the Matrix, dude. Has anyone seen my hat? I'm getting off this crazy planet. And so in response, I got an individual out there that typed in a message back to me. He says, you're right, you wouldn't be able to handle the truth. So if we both know this, the question now becomes, why are you here looking for it? And you're not special. That's the whole point. You are just like everyone else, including me, who have been taught by the same school of thought, which is, you can do things your own way if it's done just as I say. I get a kick out of people like you who get off on bullying people's subjects. They obviously have no interest in caring about, or maybe you do care, but you're still too afraid to admit to yourself, which totally plausible. Either way, nobody wants to hear or has time for your negative input, seriously. And so, in return, I replied, bullying, you simply move on, but you did not. Why? Just like you, I despise being lied to, but at the same time, I can't seem to look away. Your voice, you voice your frustration and focused on another mouse in the maze, so who here is really doing the bullying? There is more to this world than meets the eye, my friend. Otherwise, you would have never stopped to give me the what for or even the time of day. Peace and love. Take care, my friend. So, essentially, in that entire exchange of information right there, another mouse in the maze was pretty much setting me in line for asking, posing the questions. And that's one of the things that you'll find is very common around this world, is that if you question the norm that everybody's been indoctrinated to believe, then you are out of line. And somebody, even though they're trapped in the same maze and are looking for the same answers to the same questions, we'll give you the what for. So what do you guys think? Is it all crazy? Nobody?
Everybody? I say...
Yeah?
I say people that give you a hard time, just don't mess with them. Ignore them.
Well, you know, we got all
just
these...
Just get your energy out.
We got all these brilliant topics out there, you know, whether we did or didn't go to the moon, whether the Earth is or isn't flat, you know, whether they're trying to open dimensions, another portholes to another worlds and all that kind of stuff. And the Matrix, which is the internet itself and life in general, is massive, you know, and you can search and search and search the truth, and you got to weed through what's reality and what isn't reality, what you want to save and what you don't want to save. And after a while, it just becomes so obnoxious, you know? You're trying to talk to somebody, about something, you know, like pose a question to the NASA groupies. Boy, I'll tell you what, you'll get it if you ever question NASA to the NASA groupies. You know, okay, well, if we went to space in 1969, what kind of battery backups did it have to keep them out there and warm and hot and all, or warm and cool and all that kind of stuff? How did they get past the Van Allen radiation belts and so on and so forth? You know, just posing common questions. It's a good thing to know. But, boy, they'll tell you how stupid you are real hurry. Ain't no joke. And so when I was a kid going through school and I'm listening to all the things that the teachers are telling me, and I raise my little hand up there and I say, but if the earth is flat, why do I see the boat going down this way or whatever, you know? And suddenly
makes sense. That you got five-sided shapes in a Buckminster Fuller dome. Because that's the size of the pentagram anyway.
Well, somebody, somewhere in the history of time there, you know, if you go back all the way to when they started documenting knowledge, decided, well, there's certain things that you shouldn't know, so they just won't tell you. So, you know, the earth could be flat. I wouldn't know. We could have went to the moon. I wouldn't know. I mean, I've never been to the moon. I ain't seen the earth from space, so I couldn't tell you what shape it is. All I can tell you is what I've been told. And so therein lies the maze, you know. As I go weeding through the maze of life, trying to figure out what's truth and what's not, somebody needs to take a cough syrup. Or not choke on.
Well, I'll tell you what, shit is. When the Americans went to the moon, there were little grey aliens standing there saying, "Yankee, go home." But when the Chinese went to the moon, they said, "Do you do laundry?"
Well, you know.
Well, that's because they didn't.
Well, you know what for, you know. But then the common sense guy, he'll be like marking, as you're going down the wall, he'll be marking, where you've been. You see what I'm saying? No?
Yeah, well, shit is.
Yeah.
I was in a pet store the other day, just looking for different varieties of fish. And I pointed out to the guy in the shop, he had a glass fish tank full of terrapins. And the terrapins were actually climbing on each other's backs, stacking themselves up like a terrapin pyramid to climb out of the tank. And when I pointed it out to him, oh God, not again. I walked up with him with a soft brush and just brushed them so fell back into the tank. Yeah. And that's kind of an analogy of where we live.
Yeah.
If you try and work together, get yourself up out of the tank. See, they want us to be a bunch of crabs in a bucket. And if you've got 20 crabs in a bucket and one crab tries to climb out, all the rest of them are falling back in again.
Yeah. So somebody out there is either getting amusement by watching us be the mouse running through the maze, you know. It's crazy. It just drives me insane to actually listen to people talk sometimes, because some subjects you've been over and over and over and over and over again till you're blue in the face. Then other subjects, people just spews out what they've been taught in school, and that's the only possibility to life, when in reality nobody knows, you know. Has any one of you guys had the luxury of going into space to see whether or not the Earth was round or not? No?
No. Not physically.
Mentally, yeah. Well, I guess you show you a red circle or a blue dot.
Just
die
into the heavens on a daily basis. When I lived in Holland, I had opportunity to ascend to the heavens frequently.
Cool. All right, well, you know, either way...
I've heard the flat earth theory, and I've heard a lot, but, you know, to me, it seems like a lot of effort to project all this in the sky and have it all set up there where it synchronizes for all, I mean, all the way around the world and where you're at, and it's a different pace, a little bit over. That's a lot of picture, huh? That's a lot of picture. And if it's flat, they say you can fly around the world. Once you cross the international date line, does that mean you kind of warped over to the other side of the line from one, to the other end of the planet of our flat Earth and came back around again?
Yeah, but see, that's the key. You can't question the maze. It's you've got to find your way through the maze, but you can't question the maze, because if you question the maze, then you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nutcase. Freaky Freako with Fruit Loops cereal and stuff.
You know? Well, I don't see what they say. Say you can watch a ship go down, and after a distance, you see the whole ship again. I've never experienced that.
Well, in fairness, guys, I rode a 50cc motorbike over the Swiss Alps, and they weren't very flat.
Well, I at a ground level...
At a
ground level, you got all these hills and all that kind of stuff, so it's almost impossible, like, especially if you live in my neighborhood, to get a good accurate measurement or whatever. But on a flat plane, there's scientific ways that you could literally figure this out. But either way, the only thing is, it just adds another room to the maze. See, all these different rooms to the maze, whether or not, people get out there and they will argue over and over and over again about religion and science and politics and all that kind of stuff. And I'm standing up here on top of the wall of the maze, and I'm looking down in, and I'm watching all the mouse bounce off of things, and I'm looking over there at the guy that's running the experiment as he's looking down into the maze, and he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, and we're just kind of like eyeballing each other while we're looking back and forth down there and seeing all this madness going on. And so I don't want to get back in the box. I don't want to go through the maze. You know, the maze stinks, because most of the time down there in the maze, everybody's spending all their time arguing amongst each other, you know. They're not trying to get together like the crabs that Steve mentioned right there, where they'll climb on each other's back to work their way out the deal. You know, even at that would be at least a move forward to.
No, that's the terrapins, mate.
Oh, the parapins or whatever. Either way, they're climbing terrapins on each other, trying to.
It's like a little turtle, vicious, snappy thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're trying to get out, right? And at least in their point of view, at least somebody's going to get out of the maze. You know, may not be all of us, but somebody get out. Maybe they'll run around and not open up the door and let the rest of us out. That kind of deal. And so, if you look out there, life is nothing more than a huge maze, and we are like mice running around in circles trying to figure out a way out, trying to find the holy grail of everything, you know, the secrets to the universe. And according to some folks, there ain't even a universe. It's just a flat plane of existence, and, you know, whatever side you're on. Can somebody explain to me why it is that we can't come together and just find the cheese and get it over with, man?
So when does it come to the point where young people have to travel to countries they're not born in to do menial tasks which really don't give them any satisfaction whatsoever? It doesn't give them the opportunity to express their full potential. And then we have these recessions. So the next generation that you've scrimped and scraped to send them to university to get the degree, and you've got a guy with a PhD mopping floors in McDonald's, and then they have to sacrifice so their children don't have to go through the next generation of whatever. But it comes to the point that that is part of the maze, you know. They manipulate circumstances, so in your own country it's so untenable that you want to move somewhere else for a better life, and when you get there you really do not fulfill your own potential. You're extremely lucky. Do benefit from yourself, end up getting kind of shafted anyway.
Yeah.
Anybody ever seen that movie?
I don't know how many times I sat there and went for a job, and they said, no, you're overqualified. It's just because all the stuff put down. So now I don't put down everything on the application. It's okay, and I get my job. So.
Well, hold on a second. You hit on something key there to the maze, right? Because you're overqualified. That's something that you should really pay attention to. You know, overqualified means that you think more than the average Joe. And there comes a time when they don't want you to think. They just want you to do. Kind of like a military-style mentality. Follow orders, do as they're
afraid
say.
You're going to take their job.
Well, maybe not even that. Maybe they're just afraid that you might question, and when you question, everybody else will hear your question, and they'll question, and then now you got, this lack of control. And that's another key right there, the whole control factor of it. Put everybody in the maze, see how they react, and then you can learn things from the mice trying to find the cheese, and you can pick out those ones that try to climb over the wall, and you can stick them in a different box so that they don't infect the others. What do you think?
Well, what we see them doing right now is just this. What we see them doing right now is building up the walls of the maze because the walls are about to come down. They are losing control.
Yeah, because there's like mice like you and I, brother.
Well, there's a lot of mice out there that all of a sudden are really peed off at being tied up in this maze and are about to break down the walls, buddy. Well, we see it all over the world. We are in a battle right now, and it is accelerating.
Yeah, see, because here's the thing.
Look at the attacks on our freedom, guys. Look at the attack on free speech.
No, you got a point. There's a whole depopulation agenda out there, and everybody's like, what's that all about? Well, the only reason why you have to depopulate people is to essentially be able to have a controllable crowd, so to speak. And so we've like populated the maze up to the point where now our children are thinking and they're looking over the walls too, trying to figure out different ways around, you know, getting to the cheese faster or whatever, you know. And so now, you know, the ones in charge of the experiment have lost control of the experiment. And so now they want to like, oh, wait a second, there's that internet thing. We're going to have to shut that down because these guys are talking to each other. You know, we can't have that. That kind of goes against what we're trying to do here. As long as everybody's down in the maze looking around, you know, everything's cool. But now you got a million mice hanging over the walls, peeking around, and they're starting to see things we don't want them to see. You see what I mean? does that sound
well,
right?
I'll tell you, if everybody in America, now I don't usually pump a politician or a speech, but if everybody in America listened to Ted Cruz's speech in the Senate, it's a 90-minute speech. If everybody in America listened to that speech and listened to it with their hearts open, you would see riots in the street because that.
Send me a link to the speech because I haven't heard it.
I'll send you a link. I'll send you a link here in a few minutes. We're chatting, but if we really sit down and take a look at how they're right now attacking free speech, how political correctness is everywhere we look, and how we have to ward off this factor in society, what we're doing right now. Literally, guys, could be shut down in a year or so, the way things are going, what's going on with the internet, how it's being, how they're trying to turn over corporations, how they're setting up the internet to control it now. If that happens, then what we're doing right now will become a thing in the past. So we have a lot of things on our plate right now.
Yep. And so, like I said, you know, I'm sitting up on the wall and I'm watching, you know, I'm supposed to be down in the maze and so are you. So you guys kind of like join me up here on the wall.
I've been in the maze long enough now to know how to get out of it, Shaziz.
Yeah. So.
And I have found, I know how to get out of it and everybody sitting here can find their way out. No problem.
But we
the
still
world can find their way out of it.
We still see all those other people in there trying to get to that cheese, man, that ultimate knowledge, so that they can find out what's what, you know, the truth of life, the mysteries of the universe stuff. But what they hadn't figured out so far is there are individuals out there such as...
Well, we're all saved now. We got another Messiah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's free energy and all that kind of... Yeah, okay. Anyway. Anyway, yeah, we... Well, we figured out a long time ago on all these different networks that we can talk to each other and we can share information and we can weed through the truth and the lies and the deceptions and all that kind of stuff. And so when we point these realities out to each other, you know, they got to send a mouse inside the maze to try to get us back in the line and that kind of stuff. Does that sound like anything to you? Like a disinformation deal kind of... We're kind of like we're going to overthrow another country.
Well, sure.
And they'll send agitators in first, you know, or to go start
a
riot.
This way.
Yeah?
Think of it this way, Shaziz. They constantly say to us, from the philosophical standpoint, that we live in prisons of our own construction. So what if this maze that we're trying to find our way through to get to the cheese doesn't actually exist in any other place than our heads?
Well, yeah, it's what we were indoctrinated to believe. The maze is essentially the guidelines that, you know, have you ever noticed how many guidelines there are to everything that it is that you want to do? You can do this, but you can't do this. You can look here, but you can't look there. Don't go up these stairs. Don't go out that door. You see what I'm saying? It's like... It's like playing a game where they keep changing the rules on you. if I made up a game and
that's the whole point.
Yeah. If I made up a game and I made the rules and you were playing the game by the rules and then suddenly I kept changing the rules on you, it wouldn't necessarily be fair in your favor, would it?
Well, that's basically...
You breathe. What is it going to stop?
Well...
It's carbon tax. Tagging the air that we breathe, but the air that we breathe out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We breathe out CO2.
So we just stop breathing.
Yeah. Well, I think that they want about 90% of the population to stop breathing as quickly as possible.
Well, the Georgia Guidestone says they want to bring, this is documented all through their Agenda 21, is they want to bring the population of the Earth down to 500 million people, so it's manageable. It's like, it's a lot easier to control 500 million people than 7.5 billion.
No,
so that means a lot of us have got to go, guys.
We only got like 8 billion people in the world.
Yeah, I think it's 7.7 billion is the exact number, buddy, in the Earth right now, or somewhere around 7.8 billion. A lot of us, anyway. Yeah, it's you know, I mean, what's a half billion here or there? It doesn't matter. A lot of us are going to be going, according to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the maze masters
out there.
They
have the mechanisms to do it, guys. They have the mechanisms right now that can unleash on
the maze.
Well, look at Russia's threatening with nukes right now.
It don't surprise me. The maze masters.
Well, at least they're asking permission.
The maze masters out there have had a whole.
Word,
huh? Okay, listen, the maze masters out there have had a whole lot of time to prepare for just such a deal, you know. And
you guys are really breaking the
Skype. Yeah, that's probably this Skype call. I'll end the Skype call and then I'll try to recall you back. All right, here we go. We're having technical difficulties because the mice in the maze should not be talking. All right, how's that? Breaker 19 for a radio check. Do I got you guys again?
I didn't hear anything there for about 30 seconds, so I don't know if you were talking or not, but
no,
it's really breaking up on my end, guys. Worst I've ever seen a call.
They
don't want us to talk.
Well, that's the point. The whole point is the maze masters don't want you communicating with one another. That's why they got to get... Hillary Clinton said it, all right? We're losing the information
right now. They are. They're looking. Yeah, well, right now Russia's threatening to use that nuke. And I'll tell you...
Well, in fairness, do you have to look at the perception of Russia from the Russian side?
Oh, I do.
After the Berlin Wall came... what they've been doing basically is trying to surround Russia with lots and lots of missiles.
Yep, and Russia is not a delicate or small country. They're known for being quite aggressive and violent. And, you know, if you've got some mad redneck with a massive army of guns, you do not send lots of...
Right now, we have American jets intercepting Russian fighters. We have Russia threatening nukes. We have Russian planes being shot down by ISIS. I mean, what's it going to take to start the fire? It would take nothing right now to do it. We're sitting on a little precipice right now. It's crazy. It's just, who's going to push the trigger? I mean, Putin, I take my hat off to Putin. If he hadn't stepped in there, he has put a big, big wrench into American plans for him. And I take my hat off to him for that, right? He is standing up against everything that we're laying down and taking for norm.
Well, and there you go, man. What'd you say, buddy?
Guys up ahead, and you know, and it's an intertwined carefully plan, and it's just, I mean, it's against. I got to go back or basically add more to it to bring it into view.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a deep rabbit hole, buddy. I know what you're saying.
Well, you see, let's start off. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Catholic because I look at the Catholics and they, you know, they're worshiping this statue on this day and this day. But you know what? The hearts of the people in the Catholic Church aren't like the leaders of it. The Catholic Church is more of a political thing. Okay, so you got a lot of people out here, and there's getting to be more and more of them. They just every time they hear a Christian, man, it's like bash time on the web everywhere. Or if you see them in your face, some of these people threaten you. Okay, but you know what? I got to say some good things, man. They got these churches. I mean, these hospitals that they donate, and the kids with cancer go there, and the family never pays a bill. What have you seen? I mean, and you haven't heard anything about. You haven't heard anything of any of the other religions in the news or anything. Anything going bad or anything like that. Nobody talks about the Buddhist. Nobody talks about the cow worshiping nations and all that. Nobody talks about any of that. What they are getting is a bunch of Muslim crap. If you don't convert to Muslim, they're gonna hit you. Everybody's an imbecile, and if you can rip them off, you're depraved. I mean, and
you mean infidel?
Infidel. That's
not
what they're
not imbecile. Infidel.
Infidel. An imbecile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
infidel dogs. I got to go here a little bit. Let me go ahead and finish up here. Basically, you're looking in the news. All these people coming across the borders. They open the borders up to them, and there's people at the main station handing them money and like welcome agents and all that stuff, saying come on in. And these guys got AIDS, syphilis, open tuberculosis, and they think everybody in the world is their inferior. They got their nose stuck up in the air. The hospitals are trying to treat them, and they refuse treatment from the women because that's wrong. 1 in 10 might have some education. The women don't go to school. They just basically, and they don't have jobs. And the thing is that they 1 in 10 is pregnant, and they're also carrying other infants with them, and children under 6 all the way straight down, and most of them are sick. And they're coming through, and the hospitals are trying to take care of them and do what they can. Doctors are getting stabbed. The nurses are getting stabbed. Nurses are getting syphilis infected urine splashed in their face. It's all hate. And when you sit there, hear the woman scrubbing the floor in the hospital, and she's doing her best to do that. All the guys are just sitting there just... And they were their hand, like you're supposed to give them something, but they're dominant. They are the dominant. How many doggone hospitals have the Muslims donated to people. How many charities do they have? I see zero. I hear nothing. And I'm not saying that all Muslim people are bad. It's just, it seems like the ones that can't stay where they're at, there's something wrong. And so they're all affecting the rest of the world. But you know what? Here in the United States, if somebody's got a cross up somewhere, oh, you got to take that down. It might offend a Muslim.
Mm.
You know, the ones that want to kill you if you're not Muslim. And they're...
Well, this out of supposedly Syria, which prior to interfering with their government's operations, it might not have been the most stable or happy place to live. But then again, neither is Europe. But the people were actually very well educated.
Yep. And what do we see now? We see people coming in with no background checks, young men, no families. And the destabilization of Europe is happening right in front of our faces, guys. It's unbelievable what was going on.
It's about destroying Europe.
I think it's about the destabilization. That's what I think it's all about. Well, you destabilize a world. It makes them a lot easier to control.
I'm pretty sure that all of you are right in your assessments of everything out there, but the overlying fact is there's a maze masters out there that the international bankers or elite, as we would call them, that are continuously...
Mm-hmm. And one of the phrases that he uses reasonably frequently is full spectrum domination.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one thing. They don't put all of their energy and effort into sending hundreds of thousands of people across the borders of Europe. They're doing it on multiple levels in multiple areas. This is how it's done.
Of course.
And they always try and pin it down into one boogeyman. This is the problem. That is the problem. But it's not. It's a multifaceted attack.
Yes, it is.
See, Patrick Bonneville typed a question in there. He said it's sensationalist. They make the most noise. And he said he'd like to pose a question for the current situation. What is the cheese? Successful infiltration of Islamic rule into Europe? And, you know, ironically enough, everybody out there who really pays attention to what's going on out there
Look,
says...
Look, mate, for 43 years, my little John Thomas...
I'm
sorry, but for 43 years, I have not allowed anybody near my little John Thomas that doesn't have permission, and no fella's coming round with a sharp scalpel to make me into a Muslim. I promise you that much.
I'm babbling now. This is why I say I get a headache because what's going on out there in this world is for guys like us that are having this conversation like this, we're sitting up on the wall of the maze, we're looking down at all the craziness going on, we're saying, but wouldn't there be an easier way than all this craziness going down over there? And why is this group over here getting preferential treatment as opposed to that group over there? And that one over there kind of looks like it's being tormented a lot more than the rest of them. So it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Maze Masters have some sort of sadistic pleasure out of watching all this madness. Am I wrong? I mean, it's almost as if they enjoy to see how many people they can deceive and torment.
Hey, I worked for two years for a couple Syrian guys. And, shoot, they were great people. I loved them. I mean, I'm not trying to be racist or anything. It just seems like the ones coming across the border are just... And they got no reason to act like they are. I think they're sending all the dummies across the border.
They're infiltrating our countries with the worst of their countries, but look what's coming, what's going on in Europe. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. They are basically disabling Europe. They're making it so that we can't speak against these people. We see it coming all over the world. It's just not one spot. It's everywhere right now. It's designed to keep us in a state of total disarray, where Shaziz says, like, we're getting a headache because we are looking at so many things happening right now, and it is orchestrated to be an attack on the human mind. They want us to be to a point where we can't even address one issue because we've been bombarded with three or four more issues that are very, very important at the same time.
Bingo.
I've never seen an acceleration of events on the world. I've never seen in my life, and I'm 61 now, I've never seen the world in such chaos as I see it right now. And yet the common person that you walk to and talk to on the street still thinks that everything is fine. They can turn on their TV, there's a hockey game on, the World Series is on, everything is fine. But we are right now in a very, very bad way as far as the human race goes. And I see people waking up, but what are we going to do about it? That's the question. What are we going to do about it?
Well, Barry,
we don't have the answers. As one individual, I don't have answers. But I know if we can break down the barriers between all of us people on this world right now that are standing against everything we see in this world that's wrong, and if we can come together as one voice, we can make a difference. But that's almost impossible, Shaziz.
Barry,
they are masters at deception. They're masters at divisions in society.
Barry, do you have a Sawzall in your garage?
A Sawzall?
Yeah, you know what you use to cut through plywood and such?
Reciprocating saw.
Yeah, I've got a reciprocating.
All right.
Yes, well, I have a reciprocating saw.
Well,
yes,
Muddy,
I have one of those.
Muddy, do you have a crowbar?
I got a big crowbar.
Steve, you got any heavy duty tools? No.
Yes, and it's still got his cavalier hat on it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to do something about that boy. We got to get him some therapy or something. Anyway. I'm sure he's got a hammer. All right. Well, anyway, my point is this, man. Barry, you take out that wall. You take out that wall to the south, and I'll take my tools, my hammer and chisel, and I'll take out the wall to the north. And Muddy, you take out the wall to the doggone east, and Steve, whenever those walls fall over, you can just probably just shove the one to the west down and. We're going to shorten this maze up. You see what I'm saying? That's what we're doing right here on this radio show. Is we're on top of the wall. We're looking out the maze. And instead of trying to fight our way through all this craziness, we're just going to point out the craziness as best that we can and tear down some walls. That's the only solution that we've got at this stage in the game, you know? Because I couldn't verify that anything that I know is 100% fact because I had to weed through the trash in order to get my information. You see what I'm saying? Yeah?
Exactly. Give me a battery that is self-charging, and I'll take my electric staple gun around and put on my propaganda posters.
That'll work. And put an arrow on the propaganda poster that says...
That'll be my contribution.
Yeah, draw an arrow on the propaganda poster to show where you've been and which way to the exit.
Well, I mean,
you see what I mean? Look,
have we ever seen
2 years ago? We had in England what they called the war between the Roundheads and the Cavaliers, and I think that's coming again soon.
Well, if the war don't get us, the old Earth will, because the Earth right now is very, very, very angry.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
I have never seen weather on the planet. I have never.
Yeah, we're polluting.
Well, you know what, guys? If we sit down and look at it for a few minutes, I mean, a lot of people don't really take the big picture into consideration at all, but right now we are seeing weather chaos on this planet like never before. Seen in human history ever. The common person isn't taking that into consideration. They don't take any of these factors in consideration. I mean, well, look at the floods. Look at what's going on right now with the weather. Look what's going on with our own. It's just going crazy, and it's accelerating. Where's it going
to
stop?
Well, the thing is, when you do all this damage to the earth, it doesn't show up right away. It shows up for the next 10 to 20 years.
Well,
fix the earth right now, buddy, is at a point where she's going to kick us hard, buddy.
Well, listen, yeah, guys.
The last 10, 20 really hard. That we've been doing stuff to it, it's going to show up and it's going to keep on going. Even if we stop right now, it's going to keep on going. Then it'll start going back.
But listen, guys.
Well, you know, the earth has had major geological events in the past, and they're going to come again. Go ahead, Susan.
Listen.
The
maze masters out there have figured out ways by which they can keep us hunting for the cheese while they make a lot of money. One of the processes that they make a lot of money is to take and do some fractal drilling down into the earth and, you know, siphon out some gas or oil or whatever else there is they're looking for. But in the process of that, they kind of overlooked something, or maybe they didn't overlook it. You know, sinkholes popping up all over the planet ought to be a red flag. That ought to say to somebody, you're taking away material that should not be taken away, otherwise the ground wouldn't be falling in like it's doing. You know, and so, like underneath my foundation in my old house, you know, your foundation, believe it or not, needs hydraulic pressure in order to remain where it's at. If the ground dries out, your foundation can crack. So if you siphon out all the water out from underneath your foundation, believe it or not, water is kind of good. But they're sending all the crazies into towns that aren't used to all the crazies, and now you got all kinds of things going on with that. And at the same exact time, you know, spraying crud in the air and telling everybody, don't look up at the sky because that's just regular. That's normal, you know. I'm only 50 years old, but man, I can remember a blue sky back when I was a kid. Wasn't all that trash in the air, and it wasn't all the crud on top of my car every time it got through raining. You know, literally, my car leaves fell on my car, and I got basically like a camouflage car now because between the acid rain and the doggone leaves themselves, it pretty much embedded them into my paint. All right, so now. If I say this, I'm standing out, I'm up on the wall of the maze, and I'm shouting down into the maze to all the mice, and I'm saying, look, take a peek at that over there, man. Does that look normal to you? And unfortunately, it's getting to the stage in the game where the mice are actually looking at things and believing that it is normal. Those lions in the sky, I've seen them ever since I was a kid. But you ain't that old, man. You're only like 20 years old, and you've seen this ever since you were a kid. They've been doing this for 20 years.
Well, Shaziz.
Yeah.
I mean, what you were talking about with hydraulic fracturing and pumping water out and all the rest of it is a bit like saying, okay, we're going to cut that limb, that big branch off of.
Well, we got to depopulate the planet in order to still be able to maintain control, you know? Does any of this sound. Any of this sound plausible, or is it just the ramblings of a madman? I'm just saying.
We got ways of growing food without the GMO. It'll give everybody more food than we need. So
I've successfully grown plenty of food without sunlight at all.
Right.
And to make things worse, you got some of the mice in the maze trying to scam the other mice in the maze into believing certain hoodoo voodoo things, and, you know, it just adds to the chaos. So, you know what? I'm saying we need just to, like, take our tools and just cut the walls down and plow our way through the maze.
I think the biggest joke, mate, is the fact that we've been led to believe that the maze actually exists in the first place.
Yeah, that's the key.
I think that in a city, they build enough skyscrapers. They ought to build one with glass on all sides, like you see, and put gardens.
That'd be nice.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So my front door is about 11 years old now. It's getting a bit tatty. So if some dirty, great big oofed garda comes and kicks me door in, and they find cucumbers and parsley growing in his bare room under T5 strips, then fine, I need a new front door anyway.
Right.
Now that's the way that
I sit there and, you know, play away with my PlayStation and they can do whatever they need to do.
That's the way that a real, true rebel mouse thinks, man. Hey, look, I'm going to just go ahead and do...
Sometimes I don't know. No, I'm sorry. Muddy said he had a question. I just wanted to
Okay.
Inform that I'm listening.
You said that garden, sometimes you continue gardening and the bug spreads. It'll do it across the field, won't it?
I'm sure half the
village
I was in were growing stuff after I showed them out.
Yeah,
I've got no argument with that comment, that gardening is infectious.
Yeah, there you go. It's like an ideal. If you can get people to start gardening, it'll catch on, because people have lost contact with their food. They don't know how it comes to be in that plastic freezer package that they microwave. They don't know where it comes from, the egg, or really how it comes to be. They know
kind of like that song. That song from
Bug. The idea is,
well, it's brilliant.
Getting that bug to go not just to your neighbor but all over. Pardon?
I say it's brilliant. I got a friend Dublin who I haven't heard from for a while. He coined the phrase guerrilla charity. Now, we were talking about how in some places there were situations where people were trying to feed the homeless and they were going to jail for doing so. And so Dublin talked about guerrilla charity, which essentially, to make it short, and I'm paraphrasing, is you run by, hand them a sandwich, and run off. And so that way the cops can't get you. You see what I'm saying? And I'm talking about being like a Johnny Appleseed, going out there throwing food in every different direction, seeds, plant seeds all over the place, you know. So when you walk down the road, you got vegetables on out both sides of the road. So, you know.
Well, it's kind of goes along, that goes along with what something Muddy was saying. You just go out there, you teach them which greens, which edibles that people think are weeds to eat, and you fed them, teach them, you know, how to fish. Don't teach them, don't keep giving them a fish.
Yeah.
How about educating them on how stupid logging is? Because I did that with a lot of people in my community here in the last couple of weeks. I posted on my local page here, Terrace Citizens, a link showing a guy holding a blowtorch against a piece of hempcrete. The blowtorch was held against the hempcrete for about a minute and a half. There was no smoke coming off the hempcrete. After a minute and a half, the hempcrete did not burn, does not put out any vapors or odors into your house, period. If we built all our houses out of hempcrete, fires would become a thing of the past. The logging industry would be obsolete overnight. All you have to do is educate people. I blew people away with this link, guys. I had more feedback from that link because people in my community had no idea of the benefits of hempcrete. Education is all it's going to take, guys. All it's going to take.
That's right.
Well, astounded people, Shaziz, what they saw.
They say these hemp pillows stay about 20 to 40 degrees cooler than the heat off their face, so it gets you better sleep and makes your skin better. It's one of the softest materials. Yep. And you wear nothing but hemp clothes, correct?
Yeah, I have about five. I've got five hemp T-shirts. I've had them for about 4 years now. I wash it. I wear it every week. After 4 years, this shirt is like the day I put it on. So why are we building? Why are we making cotton? I mean, I don't wear anything but hemp. I've got a pair of hemp pants now. When you put it on, it feels like it belongs to your body. You put a cotton T-shirt on. You guys got to do this. Just go get a hemp T-shirt, one that fits you properly. Take it home, put it on, and then take it off and put on a cotton T-shirt and tell me what you feel. It'll go, huh? You throw your cotton away? All it takes is education. You know, right now, guys, that there's a company in Germany that's working on a superconductor that uses the inside fiber of the hemp plant. There's a link I'm going to send you, Shaziz. I'll go find it. I was about this, they're finding out they can make some of the best superconductivity material in the world out of the inside fiber of the hemp plant. You think that that's going to make mainstream news? You think the benefits of hempcrete are ever going to make mainstream news? Are you kidding?
No, but, you know, because it doesn't fall
within your agenda. Of course, it doesn't make them money. We know how the rabbit holes work. Anything that's beneficial to us will never be exposed on mainstream. It just ain't going to happen until we look them in the face and make them expose it. But what I did, simply by putting that link on a local site and talking and getting people in the community looking at it, and all of a sudden they're looking at it, and they're sharing 10 of their friends because they didn't know this. It's incredible.
you can hold a blowtorch hempcrete for 90 seconds and there is no fire. Well, man, if all our houses were built in hempcrete, how many lives would be saved every year? Millions! And how many trees would be saved every year? Millions!
Yeah,
and we could stop deforesting this planet.
Period. I bought a hemp t-shirt in Thailand in 1996 and I've still got it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, the world just got to grasp it, run with it, because everything we see happening right now on our planet can be offset with knowledge. We just got to get into our friends' hearts and show them and say, hey, look, you know, this is what we're doing. Point out a link about deforestation in the rainforest and what it's doing to the biosphere of the whole planet, along with the other attacks on our biosphere. Point that out to them, and then sit down and point them to a link on hempcrete and what we could be doing right now with industrial hemp. The money paradigm in our society, guys, would literally shift. The Bible talks about the meek inheriting the earth. It says it in many chapters I read in my book. And you know what? I sit there and I go, how can that happen? How can the meek inherit the earth? Simply by a paradigm shift in our thinking about how we produce everything on this planet. We are seeing it go to hell right now. And people are starting to look for answers. All we have to do is put it in front of their faces. And there was it. I can't believe the response I got from this, guys. Now I'm posting other links on hemp. On naturals, on chaga, on everything that's natural, and you're garnishing attention by doing that because the lights come on. They really do. So that's all I'll say about that today. It was inspiring to see the response I got this week.
Well, tell
Barry, I've got a little link for you. It's kind of
important. Yeah, I've got on my Facebook.
The innovative qualities of hemp are so good they actually built a brewery out of it in the UK. Yep. It requires no heating and no cooling because it keeps a stable temperature all year round.
Henry Ford commercial built an brewery. Henry Ford built an automobile with hemp. Built it.
One of the problems
we're building our automobiles with hemp instead of steel factories.
Lighter.
Tearing down the walls of the maze, one wall at a time, man. That's what we're doing. What do you say take a quick music break, man? No? Yeah?
Yeah, I'll calm down a little bit because I get riled.
All right, everybody. Well, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We'll be back after a brief music break. Stay tuned. Peace and love.
Turn it up.
table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's kind of ironic that a lot of times some of the best conversations happen behind the scenes about different subjects that we bring up here on the Knights of the Round Table. One of which, our friend Patrick here was talking about some of the reasoning why that hemp is something that is pretty much overlooked or shuffled underneath the carpet and that kind of stuff. Would you like to expand on that there, brother? Yeah? No?
Okay. So, if you read your history, at least for the United States, it all stopped around 1932, and people could no longer grow their own hemp, whether this is an industrial plant or something used for medicine or for food or for recreational cannabis. It all ended. Okay. They started putting this nonsense stamp act into fruition where you'd have to go in, you'd have to say, here's my illegal weed that I grew, can I grow it legally now? And either they would arrest you or let you pay money to be able to grow it. People do not understand nowadays how easy it is to grow hemp, not cannabis, recreational use, and not just in the states where it's been legalized, but just using regular hemp textiles. Barry was talking about what great products you can get out of it, and some people don't realize the ease of how you could do this back in your backyard, like people were doing in the 30s. And, well, if education is going to be a weapon, let's teach people how to grow hemp legally. Now, you know, we don't need to upset the system to disturb it in our favor.
Well, there's a...
Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of products like that out there that pretty much, get shuffled off to the side and out of the market because of certain things like maybe logging industry, you know. Why would you want to tell people you could make stuff better out of hemp or, clothing industry? Why would you tell people that you'd make something that would actually last longer than, say, cotton or something like that? So... if you look at every single one of these scenarios, including the fuel industry, the power companies, and so on and so forth, they all have an agenda behind them to keep in business. And if you got something out there that is going to cure the common cold, it's blatantly obvious you're not going to be able to sell much cold medicine if ain't nobody got a cold. Same thing with bullets, guns and ammunition. Well, you know, if you really want to get the guns and ammunition off the shelves, then stop going over starting fights with people. Wouldn't that be the common sense thing whenever, you know, nobody's running around blasting each other or trying to rob each other? Then they really ain't got no need for it anymore. So right now, at this stage in the game, down here in the maze, you got a need for it because there's always somebody trying to mug you and they're putting rats in with the mice and, destabilizing everything under the sun. So your average mouse down there says, look, man, I'm going to have to get me some brass knuckles or some blackjack or something, you know, because I'm tired of getting mugged. So, you know, it's common sense. And they should be thankful. They should be glad that you're handing them a bottle of water or trying to give them some food or, you know, helping them out or something like that. But when they come in there with the kind of attitude such as I'm better than you and I'm here to take over kind of thing, you got to wonder... That's why most of Joe's average Joe out there is getting a little bit upset. You see where I'm going there? It all falls back to the doggone... Yeah. Go ahead.
She says, if it costs billions a year to explore for oil, move the rigs into position, drill into the Earth's crust, extract it, process it, and then eventually sell it to us, when there's a limited supply of it and two-thirds of the world's surface is covered in water, why is water more expensive than petrochemicals?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. When you go doggone buy a bottle of water out there at the store, you can spend at least $1.
You can buy a gallon of gas and you can buy a gallon of water, which is more expensive.
Yeah. That's kind of ludicrous if you ask me. And, you know, so you got these mice down there, all these mice in the maze, and they're running around running muck like chickens with their head cut off, bouncing into each other, arguing and fussing and fighting, while the maze master's up there ha-hawing it up and laughing and getting rich. And you got a few mice sitting up on top of the wall there, looking down at all the madness and looking up at the maze master and the evil grin on his face. And we're saying, look, guys, y'all getting played like a banjo. Maybe you ought to, instead of trying to fight amongst each other, try to figure out a way to, work your way out this doggone thing. Does that sound wrong to you? Anybody?
I'd like to see them struggle.
I think you're right. I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right.
Well, and so...
That's a part of it.
The brilliance of this whole deal is the fact that, you know, we know, because we've done a lot of research, there's a lot of things out there, and as long as we continue to keep on pointing it out to everybody, and as long as we got somebody in this maze that's spray painting paths that we've already been down before, so we know that that's a dead end down there, that's how we're going to get through this thing alive on the other side. You know, they say nobody gets out of life alive, which is a true statement. The only way you're getting out of life is when somebody kills you or you, whatever. But in the meantime, we all got to live together. And there's people out there that need water, they need food, they need heat and lights and you know, just the normal luxuries that a lot of us have the option to enjoy. But there are individuals out there all over the place that don't have that luxury. And so if you are a refugee going out there into another nation and they're offering you up some of their food and a shelter, I would say that, you know, common sense dictates you ought to be kind of polite to them, because not the whole world's not like that. There's people that won't help you out, period, no matter how much you're suffering. You know what I mean?
Look at the commercial aspects of industrial hemp. The Irish Farm Diversity Manual, which is published by the Irish government, listed 50,000 potential uses for the hemp plant. Mm-hmm. On top of that, 1 acre will produce up to 4 tons of hemp fibre.
Mm-hmm.
If it's grown for fibre, if it's grown on seed, it can produce up to 3,000 litres of oil per acre.
So essentially, what you're saying to me is essentially, instead of cutting down a bunch of trees that took hundreds of years to grow, you could just grow a bunch of weeds and chop them down, and the next year you'll have a bunch more weeds and you can chop them down. Keep on reusing the fibers to make all kinds of stuff, even included.
And this is something that people really have to grasp, is that when you grow industrial hemp on land for 3 years in a row, what the root system does with the hemp plant, it gets so deep into the earth, it has an amazing effect on soils. After 3 years of growing hemp on that piece of land, you don't want to grow hemp. You want to put a field of soya or corn, GMO-free corn, or any kind of plant that you want to grow, and watch how it grows after 3 years of hemp being grown on that piece of land. If we cycled our land properly, we could do amazing things. It's just knowledge, guys. Look into that, because that's one of the aspects we talk about, that the fact that how much we can harvest, because this is when I did my talk this year at the 420 in Terrace. This is something I really hammered home to people, is the whole cycling aspect of growing industrial hemp on land, how it detoxifies the soil, how it will remove any pollutants out of the soil strictly because of the way the root system works on the hemp plant, and how we can cycle that land after every 3 years you put a crop of whatever you want to grow on that land. You do it for that year, then you cycle back to the industrial hemp. Meanwhile, you've got thousands of acres of land around you that you're cycling. The possibilities would just boggle your mind.
Are you familiar with the term impacted soil?
Yes, I am.
It's usually from heavy rainfall or lots of people traipsing over it or vehicles. Mm-hmm. Well, hemp is great for breaking up impacted soil.
Yeah, it also now has been proven. It's been proven. 4 studies have proven that hemp will detoxify radiated soil.
Yeah,
you know, they have done studies with hemp. One was done in, I believe it was Germany. I can go by and find this link. It was an oil storage facility where oil had been dumped on the ground for years and years and years. The soil was absolutely just garbage, and they put industrial hemp on that land. And after 3 years, the reduction in oil content in the soil had gone down 80% after 3 years. So what are the possibilities with the plant? We look at how toxic our soil is becoming. I mean, we have farmers that are going broke. They can't grow hay because the conditions aren't conducive to growing hay now, because our climate is upside down. Yet hemp will grow in any kind of conditions. It's a weed. It is so versatile, so strong, that all these empty fields we see now, farmers going broke, could be turned over, could be reversed in a short period of time. And there I get back to this phrase out of the Bible that I refer to and I think about it so much, is the meek will inherit the earth. Well, how could we do it? Well, this is something I believe is the answer. Just my thoughts for a few minutes, guys.
Well, after a nuclear apocalypse, and the chances are the only ones going to be left over is a few stragglers, and hopefully they're the ones that aren't wanting to take control of the planet, you know, or kind of like Metallica's song, King Nothing, you know, you blow it all up and then what are you the king of? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
yeah, all these, yeah, really. What are the elites going to have when it's all said and done?
Yeah.
Where are they going to live? At the ground.
I think Patrick was the one that asked earlier, what is the cheese in the maze down there? What is the cheese that everybody's searching for? You know, and I'm thinking, the only cheese that I'm looking for in my life is a little peace of mind. You know, all I want for this world is a little bit of peace and love, man. I mean, common sense. You see somebody put you on a Batman suit or a ski mask or whatever. Run by and give the homeless some food. You might scare the crud out of them on the way by, but once they see you're just handing them food and not trying to rob them, you know, then they'll be all right with it. But you know, if you can't just openly go cook a meal for somebody in need, then something's really wrong. You know what I mean? And from my point of view, where I stand, sitting up here on top of the wall here at the maze that we call life, I see a lot of things, a whole lack of common sense of what the supposed representatives or leaders of the world have done to this world. You know, there's people over there. I'm going to say it again. I've been saying this and saying it and saying it. I've been watching commercials on TV all the time. All right, about starving babies somewhere in the world. Little flies buzzing around their face, you know, a little baby sitting there in the dirt crying, you know, and hungry and all that. What makes me so mad about that whole deal is that if there were any people out there from the mainstream media all the way up to the government agencies that really cared about this issue, number one, they wouldn't be charging somebody for a commercial. They would be volunteering some free airtime to ensure that this problem got resolved. And number two, instead of sending all this money into military things that are going to go around and create more destruction and more homeless people and more starving babies around the world, they would be telling the taxpayers, look, we've got a serious issue here on our planet Earth. Our brothers and sisters over there on this side of the globe are suffering. We need to get them water. We need to get them food and shelter, and this is how we're going to do it. You see what I'm saying? But it ain't like that. It don't come down to actually getting done until the average Joe gets up off the couch and goes out and does it themselves. The government's not running by handing people sandwiches. If you know what I mean. You got to go up there and knock on the door and hope somebody answers and hold your hand out and maybe the government will feed you. Anything sound familiar there? Anybody?
Government cheese?
Yeah, government cheese. That's what we're after, man. That's what we're in the Matrix to get. The government cheese. They want their Obama phone.
I want organic, like, on the farm made feta cheese, and I can pet the goat.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, the government cheese has probably got aspartame or what's that stuff they put in water nowadays and toothpaste?
Fluoride.
Yeah. You take your fluoridated cheese and like it, know your place, and shut your face. That's the way I rule with an iron fist around here, man. Yeah, get your
is your name Block?
Well, my name's probably Mud by now because the government already knows I don't like them, so, you know, they're probably going to have to figure out a way. They're going to drone strike my house or something. They just want to make sure that they can get it all in the clear, you know.
Well, I'll guarantee you, Shizzies. I guarantee you everybody sitting here in this room right now is on the top of their list.
Well, I
had if we're not on the list, then we're not doing something right, right? That's the way I figure.
Listen, this is funny, man, because I figured out a brilliant plan. This was my brilliant plan. I had bought me a bobcat, and I wanted to dig me a pond out there, right? But I had a little problem with my bobcat because it just didn't want to dig very, very good. So I was telling my friend out there, I was just joking around with him. I said, you know what? I figured out a way I can get a free pond out here. And he said, how's that? And I said, well, I'm going to go get some of that big old PVC pipe and put a nose cone on it, paint it up to look like a missile, and build me a launcher right here at this site right here. And that way, when the military flies over, they'll see a missile down there and drop on them bunker busters and put a big hole in the yard, and that's all I'll call my pond. What do you think?
Ridiculous. 2 years after the financial crisis died, 53 tons of cheese will be given to charitable organisations to distribute as part of an EU scheme. Already this year, over 114 tons of free cheese have been given to people in need in this country. You cannot make this stuff up.
Man. So there you go.
114 tons!
So there you go.
What are they putting in the cheese, man?
That's a good question.
There's only 5 million people in Ireland.
Anyone who can check out this article, you need to look at this picture of this giant block of yellow. Let's just assume it's cheese. That's what we're calling the product.
Well,
it's scary.
Okay, so, you know, I started this show off by talking about mice and maize. And I hate to pat myself on the back, but doesn't it life imitate art? Isn't this not what that you're seeing out there? Or we're basically running through the maze to get our government cheese? Was I wrong? Should I have picked a different subject today?
It fits. It works. And it's definitely imitating life imitating art, and art imitate life, the way that our sensationalist media explains things.
Yeah, and boy, if you try to get up out of that doggone maze, if you come out the wrong door, you got the jackbooted thugs ready to ship you off into another box where they're going to beat you around a little bit, and maybe if you're nice enough, they might put you back in the maze again. So, I don't know whether the box is going to be nice or the maze is going to be nice. It's your choice, I guess. You know, you stay in line, and you can stay down here in the maze, and you just follow the distractions as they come. And you listen to what you're told, you follow these guidelines, these rules, these walls that basically tell you you go this way, but you can't go that way. Don't open that door, don't look out that window, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, know your place and shut your face, little mouse. That's what I feel. And, you know, I guess I got a right to own it, because it is on my portion of the deal, it is my life, right? Just like it's your life. And right now, we're seeing all the things out there which is threatening our life that we don't agree with. Russia dropping a nuke. Okay, what good's that going to do? We already got problems with earthquakes and floods and tidal waves and plagues and famines. So you're going to get mad. You're going to drop a nuke on somebody, take out a few thousand, maybe million people. You're going to probably jack up the environment in the process, create a spot which nobody can go, and so now the depopulation has to go down just a little bit more because now we're running out of room because you keep blowing holes in the ground. But yet, if you go to waste one of the bombs, throw it over there in my yard, over there in the field.
Not a very good situation, is it?
So I can get my pond. All I want is a fishing pond. Not a little peace of mind, man.
Well, you don't want a nuke in your ear.
No, I don't want my pond to glow in the dark, but, you know, I just want a pond.
You want a bunker buster.
Yeah, just a bunker buster.
A 500 pounder would do it.
Yeah, that'd work. I'm sure they can spare one. This,
maybe that bunker buster can get rid of that stump for you.
Yeah.
Well, there's an old saying, be careful what you wish for, Shaziz. Because they're listening to you.
Well, I mean, come on. If they're just slinging them around like they're going out of style anyway, who cares that one of them might cost $50,000 to $100,000 to $1 million or $1 billion a piece to, you know, blow a hole in somebody's bunker or whatever? You know, hey, if you got that kind of money, sling me out a pond over there. I'll stock it up with my own fish and just make sure it ain't one of them glow-in-the-dark bunker busters, because I don't want, you know, glow-in-the-dark pond. I like the natural style looking pond, you know, with the frogs that only had two eyes as opposed to three or four or 10 legs.
Yeah, but it's much easier to catch them when they glow in the dark.
Well, I could go get some of that government cheese and set that out there. That could eat a hole in the ground.
Yeah, use it as
ring with red dye number whatever whatever and yellow dye number whatever whatever, you know, I mean,
Look it up.
Yeah,
annatto, that's the red dye in cheese. Annatto is from the annatto tree. It's a small spiky fruit that slightly originated Brazil, and it's a small angular and pebble like seed, and they grind it up. It's Mexican and Caribbean cooking. If you guys don't know, I'm a trained chef, by the way, and it does impart a rich yellow orange colour. So they don't need to use chemical food colourings, but what they do is they take a small quantity of annatto, and it's a bit like the vaccinations. They use a adjuvant to expand that. So they stick a lot further.
Well,
the good news is in Canada, now 64% of Canadians are refusing the flu shot. Simple. Half-hour research. Anybody that looks at it, goes and gets the ingredients right out of the pharmacy, what's in our flu shot, punch it up on your computer, and you will not stick it in your body if you've got any kind of a mind. People are doing it now, so that's cool. We're seeing a major spike against it in Canada.
I got a message from the VA that I could go down and get my free flu shot, and I'm like, nope, that went right into file number 9. You know, the old trash can, trash receptacle?
There's two things that have something very similar. It's mercury and plutonium. There is no acceptable level of mercury or plutonium in the human body.
That's safe,
yeah. But they stick it in all the flu shots.
Yeah, our flu shot, I went and got the list of ingredients on our flu shot, and right in there, thermosol. They call it thermosol so people won't know it's mercury. But it's mercury, and you want to inject that into your body? Are you nuts?
You want to inject it into your child 150 times by the age of 15.
Exactly. When the blood barrier in the brain hasn't developed before the second year of life, the amount of chemicals that babies are being exposed to. My daughter just had a baby, guys, and I'm proud of her because she did her research on vaccines, and she told the doctor right to his face, if you ever stick a needle in my baby, I'm going to sue you. So hats off to her, and she's sharing that knowledge with her friends now. So it does make a difference when people wake up to it, guys.
One thing about the poor mice population out there, if you look throughout the history of medicine, mice have been basically used for, they call them lab rats or whatever, you know, they've been used for testing, and it kind of seems like every once in a while, a group of us will get plucked out of the maze and stuck with some needles and put back in there to see how we react to everybody else out there. I mean, you can't make this kind of stuff up, man. It's just...
No, it's insanity.
It is. It's nuts.
Well, it is.
And
I mean, we could go down the vaccine rabbit hole so deep, it'd blow people's minds.
Yeah.
People aren't aware of it. They just aren't aware. But they are becoming aware.
Hey, Suzanne, you remember when we were doing that show, and it was around Shout It From the Mountain time, and we were talking about fluoride and all the bad stuff, and I was talking about my teeth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this one lady from the chat decided we brought her in. Yeah, we brought her in there for a minute, and she was talking sweet love about fluoride, man, and she brushed her teeth every day with Crest. And she's got perfect teeth. And
Well, she hasn't read the warning on the side of the tube of toothpaste, has she, buddy?
Yeah, poison control warning.
I mean, if that doesn't open your eyes to anybody, I mean, you know, if you ingest a small amount of this product, call poison control right away. I mean, come on. I mean, how dumbed down is your brain to go, wait a second, hold on, something's wrong with this picture.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, people put that...
Oh, it's crazy, man.
They put that in their kids' mouth.
I asked her if she worked for Crest.
I'm waiting, guys. You know what? I think I brought this to your attention a while ago, but it's been, of course, the court system in Ontario. They've managed to put the decision off for a while, but there's a group in Aurora, Ontario right now that's suing their city council over their negligence or their inability or the refusal to look at the scientific facts behind fluoridating water. And a group in the community is actually suing their city council. They were supposed to get a decision 3 or 4 months ago. Of course, the court system has put it back, so the decision's going to be coming down. I think it won't be until February of next year. But if that decision goes with the citizens of that community, you will see a ripple effect through the world that'll just boggle your mind. You would immediately see every other community that is fighting against fluoride in their water launch class action suits against their councils. So let's just hope that one goes for the citizens of Aurora, Ontario.
Well,
I think we need to get together and everybody pick one item from the supermarket and analyze everything that's in that item.
Yeah.
And bring it and put it in one show, one thing after another, until they find out that there really isn't anything safe.
Just don't mix the Cheetos with the Cheese Whiz.
No. Well, you know, we talked. You know that one that they do on YouTube. We did this one ourselves. A box of Kellogg's cornflakes. I went to Safeway here and I bought a box of cornflakes, and we got an eight gauze magnet, which is what the demonstration asked for. I put it in a plastic bag with a little bit of milk and got it kind of soggy, but not really wet, but soggy enough that I could pass the magnet over the top of the bag, and I did it 4 times, just like the description on YouTube. And we took a look in the corner of the bag, and sure as heck, there's metal in the corner of the bag coming out of your Kellogg's cornflakes.
Man. Yeah, that's iron. That's okay.
Whatever it is, it's there.
Yeah, it is.
It's there.
It is. And
I saw it with my eyes. Like, blew me away.
I believe you. I've seen it myself. I've taken the iron filings out of Kellogg's cornflakes. But
feed this to your kids, guys.
let me deter you from the fear for a moment.
Okay.
I don't want people to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be upset. Be angry. Be concerned. But don't be afraid. Okay. We have these problems. We also have solutions. And we're talking about education, and we need to use the education to break down these walls so we can beat the maze.
Aha!
Or, as Pelosi says, maybe beat the idea of the maze.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. Fear is the biggest weapon against us, buddy.
So, instead of using Crest, let's address the fact that you can use baking soda with lemon and or some sort of astringent. You know, you could use orange to brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's mention that you can use hemp, sunflowers, mushrooms. They all kill radiation. They're all legal. We can all grow them at home. Let's
orange is not a good plan for your teeth because citric acid tends to draw out calcium.
Yeah, you can use whatever you want, and there are plenty of herbs and roots that you can use. Thank you for pointing that out, by the way. That I was going to think about the sugars. I usually rinse, but hey.
I just go to the health food store and I buy a toothpaste that has no fluoride in it. Simple as that.
Ginger.
I don't do anything with the city water in Paris here because they're still putting fluoride. They also put chlorine in our water, a class 3 carcinogenic in our water because they want to protect the pipes.
I just go out and look for whatever has red dye number 7 in it because it's number 3. Number 3. I'm going with number 3.
If you think about it this way, guys.
I got to get this point out.
Hydrofluoro. Don't worry about that, mate. Hydrofluorosilicic acid is, again, another acid that they put in the water supply. Acid will leach calcium from your bones, and we have a massive problem with osteoporosis in elderly people.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Wonder why, eh?
Now, can I go for round 3?
I'd like calcium back in my
But the good thing is they have a drug to fix that, guys.
Now can I go? Now can I go? Yeah. Now can I go for round three?
Yes, that's my permission.
All right. I just looked for the packages that say like red dye number 7 in there because I like to be mentally ill. So I will get the ones, the Cheetos that have the colors that will turn your teeth orange. And stuff like, never mind.
No normal people allowed.
Which is this. The E110 Sunset Yellow food coloring puts me in hospital.
Well, see, but they still sell it.
It causes a massive rash to come all over my body. And I went to the doctors with a problem with a skin rash, telling them that I was allergic to the sunset yellow food colouring, and they gave me steroid tablets covered in sunset yellow food colouring.
Well, the doggone EPA says that carbon dioxide is a toxin, a waste, or whatever. And yet the Food and Drug Administration says it's all right to go to the chemistry factory to buy your groceries. How's that work, man? I mean, if you want to build something out of the Anarchist Cookbook, the snack section of the doggone grocery store is probably a good place to go to get your chemistry. I'm just saying, man. I'm not advocating that you do anything
there
around
the good guy in my village.
Don't be lighting your Cheetos. Yeah?
I carry him for fire starter.
There was a guy in my village that ran a really good grocery store, and he'd kind of try and give you good deals all the time, and he'd give you a discount on beer, and he bought 10 cases, and a really nice guy. But I walked in the door one day and said, "How are you doing, buddy?" And he said, "Oh, do you see anything you like?" And I said, "Well, look, seriously, let's put it this way. Over there, you have two shelves of what I would call food. It's your fruits and vegetables. And the whole of the rest of this store, which was probably 4,000 square feet, is nothing more than a complicated chemistry set. And we're supposed to eat it."
You know what, guys? I'm going to share. I'm going to add on to that because I see the same thing. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but our native population in northern BC here are absolutely sick people. But if you go onto any of the reserves, to the general store in the reserves, you'll see exactly what you just referred to. It blew me away the first time I went into their store. They'll have three shelves. I'm not exaggerating. Three rows of junk food, cheesies, chips, chocolate bars, pop, you name it, whatever is junk food, they have two or three rows of this in the store, and over on the far side, they'll have one row, and there'll be a few cans of food, nothing fresh, nothing edible, no fresh fruits, no fresh vegetables, and their people come in there and spend, I've witnessed it so many times, they'll come in and spend $25 on junk food. They'll walk in with their 10-year-old children who already are obese, and you can see their puffy cheeks and their bodies are already rebelling against the food that's being put into them. They'll walk in there, spend $30, and walk out and take it home and eat it with their children. And it drives me absolutely insane. I have every time I get a chance to share these feelings with the elders of the bands and the native people up here, I share it. And I know the lights come on because they see it. They know that 17% of the population in the North Coast now, which is the native population, represent almost 70% of our diabetes. That if you go to any physician's office and look at the waiting room, 80% of the people in the room will be native. And there isn't anybody that over 21 years old that isn't already grossly obese. But we all know that cancer is the biggest retainer in your body of cancer. Is obesity. Their health is just going right down the tubes, and yet 100 years ago, these were the most strongest, vibrant people on the planet. To live in the North Coast of British Columbia 100 years ago, you had to be a strong, vibrant, healthy person, or you would not survive. For thousands of years, they lived here as healthy, vibrant people. And I look at them now, and I just ask them, to look at history, guys. Look at your past. Look at your roots. Look at what you were and what you are now. It is so disturbing to me, guys. It really is.
And one of the things about the Native Indian community that I'm sad to see is that there were, before medicine, they knew enough about nature to know what was good for you, what wasn't good for you. And, you know, there were their own medicine. You know what I'm saying? Lost arts from all different societies out there of, you know, before doctors, there were certain things that you could use to heal a rash, or, you know, medicines for if you got an upset stomach or stuff like that. They knew what plants that were good for you and what weren't. You see what I'm saying? Radio silence. Did I lose?
Well, of course they did, Shazit, but if, no, but you're absolutely spot on, and they've lost that. They have lost that history. They are so encompassed now into the modern world. Their brains are so deteriorated by the food they eat. Their health is so deteriorated that they're in the matrix. They can't escape it. They pass on that gene to the next generation. I mean, it is so sad. And I try and emphasize this, to try and point out to them that, you know, everything that you need to make your body healthy was, is, and still is provided here in your backyard. And in the last couple of years of my life, my eyes have opened up to this, that everything we need to heal our bodies is provided by the earth. I mean, 200 years ago, if they broke their arm, they didn't go to the doctor to get a cast put on it. They went and got some stinging nettle, and they took the comfrey plant, and they put stinging nettle directly on the break. It was on your arm. They'd wrap it with stinging nettle. They'd cover that with comfrey, and 3 weeks later, the bone would be totally healed without a cast. I mean, everything they did was by the earth, and they've got so far away from that. I try and direct them back to that train of thought because it is so relevant. It is, our whole society is just so toxic, and their brains and their bodies are at a point now where they I don't know if they can ever fight off what they're dealing with, but get back to the earth, and your body will cleanse itself. It really will. Chaga, guys. I keep talking about that, but I'm not going to talk about Chaga today because I'll start ranting.
Larry, from my
perspective... It is my Chaga rant.
From my perspective, Barry, I'm a trained chef. I went to college. You know, I spent about 4.5 years working in a la carte restaurants, and that was a long time ago. But I worked in Holland growing food in hydroponics and naturally on the land and chemically on the land. I've grown my own food, and I've got to the stage now where I am in Asia. I'm actually spending a lot of time cooking spelt loaves for people that have celiac problems. But I'm saying to them, look, spelt is still a grain. You can say it's organic, but is it crossbred with some GMO rubbish? I don't know. But what I found recently is coconut flour. You can actually bake with coconut flour. Because, I mean, if you're going to eat sweets, if you're going to eat cakes, get rid of the processed sugar and use honey. Get rid of the wheat and use the spelt. If better than spelt will be coconut flour.
Exactly.
But the GMO wheat is not a big tall plant that, you know, the wind that shakes the barley, the Irish film, you know, it's not sort of 3 or 4 foot high. It's about 18 inches high and crossbred deliberately to produce the greatest yield. And it's causing huge amounts of problems.
Of course it is. You're absolutely right. I mean, I took all processed foods out of my diet about 2 years ago. I don't have any processed. I have no salt from the stores. I get naturally occurring sea salts. Same with my sugars. I get naturally occurring sugars. Anything that's been processed contains chemical traces in it. Any of your bleach products, any of your processed food contains bleach or contains chemicals. I mean, they just released a report on processed meat. Now they're directly tying it to cancer. Well, da-da, we all know that. We know that they contain chemicals. So the more you can get away from processed food, any kind of refined food, the better your body will feel, period.
And how's that volleyball team there, 61 year older?
Huh?
How's the volleyball team?
The volleyball team? What volleyball team? Hockey?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was hockey.
Hockey?
61 years old and busting out moves. Hockey, Bubba.
I'm not going to blow my horn, guys, but I'll tell you something about my body. Is 2 years ago now, almost 2 years ago, I started putting Chaga in my body. And I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I am playing harder and better hockey than I have in 25 years. I'm out standing in front of these young guys that are blasting pucks at me from the top of the face-off circle, and I'm snapping them out of the air. It seems like the Chaga has opened up receptors in, had made connections in my body, where when I played real high levels of hockey when I was younger. I was junior A, I played a little bit on the outside of professional, played senior for about 8 years. Back then, my body automatically went to where the puck was, but, you know, 10 years ago, I got back on the ice, and the glove wasn't working. It just wouldn't go to where the puck was going. When I was younger, it just went there, but now that seems to have come back. So I've got to say it's the Chaga. It has done absolute miracles to my body. My body feels like I'm 40 years old. My weight is 175 pounds, which is the best I've been in 30 years. This is my optimal weight. I have no fat on my body anymore. So it has absolutely metabolized my body. It makes me feel younger every day. And now I went and added, we went out and got about 14, 15 pounds of rose hips. And I'm making Chaga now. I'm taking rose hips. I'm taking the inside fiber out of the rose hips because that's an agitating fiber to the body. We process the rose hips. Then we make a tea out of it or a brew out of it. We'll simmer it in a slow cooker for about 24 hours. And then when I'm finished with my Chaga concentrate, I add that those rose hips to my Chaga. And I'm opening up a bottle of this and giving it to people, and they're absolutely just flying off the table. Rose hips has the highest concentration of vitamin C of any naturally occurring plant in the world. It's a naturally occurring vitamin C, which is so important now, because people go to the drugstore, they go to the vitamin shelf, they pick up a bottle that says vitamin C. You take that home, you think you're doing good for your body. The fact is, with the Codex system now, unless you're going after natural occurring vitamins, you are getting robbed. If they don't contain what you think you're putting in your body, people think they're doing good for themselves. They're not.
I gotta be a wise guy for a second.
Go ahead. I'll shut up because I.
So you're 61 years old and playing hockey?
Chazes, I'm playing as good. I'm not blowing my tune here. I really am not. I'm playing as good as when I was playing senior A hockey at 30 years old. On Thursday night this week coming up, Rod, the guy that is the coach of the River Kings, which is our senior A team in town, is going to have me out and let me take shots from the boys. So, because the faster the puck goes, the faster I'm moving.
So do you have hockey teeth?
There's no pain in my body, buddy. I'm flopping around the ice with 70 pounds of gear. I'm 61. My knees don't hurt. My body don't hurt. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I just praise God for showing me Chaga. I just praise him every day, guys.
So do you have hockey teeth and a black eye yet?
Well, I got a few bruises, but those are part of playing football.
if I was playing hockey, I'd have hockey teeth and a black eye.
The bruise doesn't last for 2 months.
Well, I'm a little mentally ill anyways, because anybody that wants to play goal has got something wrong inside their brain. Anybody who wants to stand in front of a little black thing that's going fast and it's going to hurt you has definitely got something loose in the brain, but that's all right.
That's why I had to ask about the hockey teeth and the black eye. I say that's why I had to ask about the hockey teeth and the black eye, because that'd be my luck first shot out. I'd take it. No high sticking on Knights of the Round Table.
But anyways, just... yeah, guys, you know, I talk about Chaga a lot, but if you get Chaga, guys, just get it. That's all I can say.
I'll
tell you what, Barry, you can toot that horn louder and longer as long as I'm around, because I love listening to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm going to have to try some of that Chaga stuff, see how it works for me. So
when I talk about it, guys, when I talk about Chaga, it comes from my heart, because I all the time, and I see what it's doing to people, and I get people coming up and wanting to hug me.
Yeah,
that is worth more than anything in my whole world. When people come up and they want to hug you, and they tell you that this has gone away and that's gone away, and they're feeling better every day, that this is one of the most rewarding things I've done in my life. Period. What better could I do right now than to help people?
Yeah,
I think you got some good Chaga. I mean, I've got two batches, and I tried it, and I felt a little difference. I didn't feel much at all.
So. Our Chaga was actually sent to Empress Foods in Vancouver, and they tested it out of 9,000 samples of Chaga they've tested in the last 7 years. Our Chaga was number two on their list for concentrations of bolutic acid of all the concentrates, and the reason being is that my Chaga was harvested at minus 24 degrees, and it was 20 degrees below zero for a week prior to the harvest of my Chaga. Which is absolutely the most important thing about it. That's why Siberian Chaga is the best Chaga in the world, because of their climate. Do some research into it, guys. You'll find out what I'm talking about.
Cool.
I love it.
So,
Barry,
threw everything out of my cupboard a few years ago that came in a box or had chemicals or processed in any way, and I lost 2.5 stone over 3 months.
Yeah, it's amazing how your body responds, buddy, when you do that. And it's simple things you can do.
Somebody said to me, how did you lose weight so quickly? And I said, I didn't eat anything I could not identify from its original ingredients.
Exactly.
So, Steve, is that why you climbed up?
That's a nice rule.
Steve, is that why you climbed up on the wall of the maze with us? Because you didn't want the gimbal cheese anymore?
Well, I could climb up on the wall of the maze. After losing 2.5 stone, I could actually climb up the wall.
Well, I kind of like it up here on the wall because you get the overall view of the big picture, man. No, I believe it. You know, if you weigh about, if you're 3 foot tall and 700 pounds, it's hard to climb up the wall. You know, so.
Well, yeah. Well, do you notice some of these politicians are not fat anymore? Back in the day, you know.
They don't go to the grocery store, man.
They're not really getting a...
They know better than that. It's like a doctor. You ask your doctor if he'll give his kid the flu shot, he'll look at you nuts.
I had a trip out to Dallas with the company I was working for back in the day when I was a full-fledged corporate whore. And I've always been a foodie. And I saw these things called Hungry Man Meals. And the big advertising on the front was 1 pound of real meat.
What's the rest of it?
From which species?
Answer, cattle.
What kind of meat?
Yeah,
but what's the rest of it?
It's like fat Tony's rat milk in the enterprise.
We don't even go there, man, what they're putting in food.
Rodent sphincter muscle, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, saying that, I did have a special Indonesian chicken in a Chinese restaurant, bearing in mind I'm living in Asia, which actually turned out to be chicken's bottom.
Oh, man.
I got a plate of chicken's backside.
Don't go there, man.
Oh,
what they put in their food, you don't want to know. We don't want to tell them what's in their food, man.
Yeah, don't tell them what's in the government cheese. We'll have a bunch of people starving. All right, start throwing garden seeds around. Hey, we got to get back on track here. Start throwing garden seeds out there like tomatoes and all kinds of fruits and vegetables, healthy non-GMO genetically modified organisms out there, and feed the people out there. Get them off the government cheese, man. Get them into some healthy living and keep them into good, wholesome knowledge and teach them, like Patrick said earlier.
Well, tell you what, guys, you're really gardening work.
What? Oh,
you're really gardening.
My brain.
Next time you go for a walk in the woods, take some heritage seeds with you and just toss them into the undergrowth.
Yeah, you know.
I did that 4 years ago, and there's pumpkins, there's wild leek, wild garlic. They're all growing lovely, and they're still there, 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, guerrilla gardening with the ideals of permaculture in mind. You can just put something there where it's natively going to grow, and it will take off.
You know that median between the lanes on your...
We can do that, Ron.
I say that because pretty much around here, you go down some of these old back roads, and it looks like they got a fence there, but no, it's not. It's all grapes.
Cool.
I was looking at a link this week, this guy's about those bullet trains now in Japan. They've got them going, what was it, 560 kilometers an hour? A train on magnetic suspension systems?
Wow.
Did you see that? Well, yeah. Like, I mean, if you could hit, just think about it, if we could hit 560 kilometers an hour with a train, wouldn't that just all of a sudden make jetliners obsolete?
Yeah, because the maglevs are more fuel efficient.
Of course, there's no friction. Absolutely, you're suspended on a magnetic field. We know that technology. I mean, you guys, I'm preaching to the choir now. You know all that technology's there. But I say to the world, do we need jetliners when we can make trains that'll go 560 kilometers an hour or even faster and do it safely with no polluting effect on the Earth?
To look a little bit further into those trains. The Japanese were lying about the power consumption required to actually make them run.
Okay.
They were lying about it for a number of years, and they got caught with the pants down. But I was actually on the Shinkansen from Tokyo to Kyoto on my honeymoon back in 2008. And they actually apologised because the train was 45 seconds late.
45 seconds late?
We're talking several hundred kilometres.
They are still...
45 seconds late, and they apologised.
They are still exceptional devices. There's exceptional machines that we can build on. And we can get you there 45 seconds earlier next time. Here's a coupon, I'm sorry, sir.
Well,
but if you go to the jetliner, if you go to an airport and the jetliner's delayed by half an hour taking off, it's all good, right?
That's, I think, that 45 second apology for 45 seconds was a way of tooting their horn.
I mean, just visualize it, guys. If those trains were built all over America, then all intercontinental jet traffic would be a thing of the past. Imagine that would be.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to spray the chemtrails because there would be no jets up there. We go, hey, wait a second, guys.
Hey, kids.
How you doing, Stone?
Realistically,
hey, Stone.
Realistically, by now, we should be, you know, into, we should have those things like on Star Trek, transporters.
Yeah, I could dig that, man. You know, I'm looking at possibilities, and the way that we do everything out here seems to kind of be upside down, man. You know, like for example, boiling water. They still think it's a good idea to boil water with radioactive material when there's probably tons and tons of other safer and more naturally environmental ways to do such a deal. But hey, who am I? I'm just a guy, so. I would love to teleportate. That would be cool.
Yeah. Now, I think it just seems to be like
we're all of you guys. We could all get together here for mushroom picking.
Yeah.
Beep beep beep. You're here.
It seems to me technically we're behind the eight ball. Like we should have this transporter. We should have a replicator by now. I mean, this is it, you know, we in some ways we haven't. We're still using the wheel.
Yep. So I'm thinking maybe if we have to be stuck in this maze anyway, we start redesigning our maze that we're stuck in to do what we want to do. So eventually, instead of everybody walking around in circles trying to find the cheese, we just beam ourselves over there, you know, with those little things like in Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty. Take me to the cheese. What do you think?
Issue is this, do you think the European Union is going to give free cheese to all the Syrian immigrants?
If they do, it's probably the blue version.
Oh God, we're going to start having...
They give everybody
a special government cheese.
The moldy cheese or whatever.
I actually asked a friend of mine in Ireland if he got any free cheese off the Irish government. He said yes. And he got free rice as well.
Rice and cheese? Man.
Well, yeah. Macaroni cheese is okay, but macaroni rice sounds a bit naff, to be honest.
Alright, well, who am I to complain? If the government's giving it out for free, let's all get our free cheese and rice, and we can use that cheese and rice to build a set of stairs that we can all climb out of the maze with. Because I'm sure that once you put that all together, it's going to be all gummy and dry out like a brick. Okay. What do you think?
I thought our plan was to tunnel.
Oh, I don't care how we get out of the stupid maze.
Okay.
Somebody parachute over the wall. Somebody dig under the wall. Somebody teleportate us out. We just need to get out of this maze because it ain't doing no good. It's driving us all insane. Because we all see the common sense. We know there's solutions to every single one of these problems. We've talked about them.
Like thalidomide was safe, and like asbestos was safe, and like food colorings are safe. And
It's like Soylent Green. You know, we're going
to... I want my Soylent Green.
Those aren't cows, sir.
No. Whatever, it's just a
no. I'm saying the Soylent Green, that's lab grown beef, it's not cattle.
It's not.
No.
It's on to something there.
It's beef. It's people.
Oh.
It's beef.
Well, don't ruin the movie for everyone, Stone. In fairness, it was released in 1972.
Yeah, it was a great movie, though.
Oh, well, you know, like I said, man, it's all insanity. The government sends out signals out there trying to search for extraterrestrials, and everything that I've heard about extraterrestrials already is they want to come down and probe us or eat us, and I've seen the movies. I don't want no part of it. So, with that said, working our way through the maze trying to find
the
cheese.
Could you imagine if, could you imagine, Shizzies, if a alien spacecraft landed in an American airport, the struggle that the TSA would have to sexually assault them?
And you seem to think that aliens are going to eat us, but who knows, maybe they taste like shrimp or something. They might be really tasty. So they might be pretty tasty.
Well, I don't know, but I saw the movie.
Don't want to go there, though.
I saw the movie Mars Attacks, and every time they said that they come in peace, they started shooting. So, I don't know, take it how you want, but first off, you know,
they sound just like humans.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's it, man. What?
To do with CERN, like there's a lot of money been poured into this CERN thingy, and man, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources. They're definitely up to something very strange there, and it could be, now, Stargates, for instance, like, they could be trying to open up some sort of Stargate or a wormhole or something.
Well,
there's got to be more to it than just looking for a Higgs boson. That doesn't add up to me.
But whatever the case may be,
They had to do something to recycle that Nazi gold the Swiss had.
Yeah, whatever the case may be, you got a 17-mile circle spinning particles in opposite directions, slamming them in each other, trying to figure out what you get. So that seems like the kind of mad science where, you know, just do it and try it and see how it goes kind of thing. Never mind the fact that some people theorize that you could open up a wormhole or a black hole or blow up the planet or...
I truly think they're not just looking for whatever comes out of it. They actually are trying to... They're looking for something, I think.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. In this, at this stage in the game, there ain't nothing going to surprise me. So if aliens show up in the maze, it's every man for himself. You know, every mouse for himself. And, you know, we got our elected officials out there in the world to thank for all the... all the madness. Who keeps selecting these guys and gals anyway?
Well, they're pre-elect. They're pre-sorted.
Well,
there is no master. The master is just an AI for the actual master that we'll never meet.
Did you guys see...
Sure, nobody's allowed into Bilderberg, are they?
Did you guys see David Icke's thing about the flat earth? It was somewhat interesting.
Well, I talked about the flat earth earlier, you know, I don't care whether the earth is flat, round, square, concave, tubular, or whatever. All I want to do is have some peace of mind. That's it. You know, I'd like to know the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And they always say, well, you can't handle the truth. Well, at least if I know the truth, I'll know how to try to handle it. You know what I mean?
But this is kind of what David Icke was explaining, though, is our understanding, the Earth might not be nothing like we see. Our perception of what is real or what we smell or taste or touch, that's our perception. That's all that is.
Well,
what it really is something totally out of our realm of understanding.
That explains the maze. That's why we're down here
trying to figure it out. It explains living in the matrix. Like, and David Icke is really good at this understanding of how it. We can only see with our eyeballs. That's all. But our eyeballs are just only relating to our brain what we see. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's what it is.
It's what we perceive. Initially.
That's right. It's just a level of perception is all it is. Like you know, a dog or a cat or a bird or some other animal is going to see things totally different than we do.
So the mice are sitting around.
If I may interrupt everyone for a moment.
Go ahead.
You might. Okay. I just want to say that whatever your perception is today, let's just remember that we're alive. We have the ability to have this conversation, and mad or sciencey as it may be, we exist because of this strange nuclear reactor in the sky. And let's appreciate that and focus on how we can fix these things, like fresh foods or, you know, or whatever your interests are in power. And I think gratitude would lead to a happier life, as well as, well, eating some chaga.
Well, that's kind of where I was.
And
about
you guys were talking. Well,
that's where I was kind of about to go
there
about
marijuana and
the mice
and hemp.
No, not marijuana, but cannabis. Just the plant in general.
And hemp, whatever hemp. Yeah, there are so the cartels are so large. Like the wood, the lumber cartel, the sugar cartel, the
or the better place. My little contribution to trying to make the world a better place is in alternative energy research, because I'm basically trying to tackle one of the cartels out there that you're talking about, which is the power company, you know? Because they got everybody, you know, by the, you know what? Because all you got to do is, if you don't pay your bill,
short,
all they got to do is
short and curlies.
Yeah, all they got to do is pull the switch. Then flip the switch and you ain't got no lights. And so since we've been accustomed to, you know, using electricity for lights and heat, never mind the fact that before electricity, there were individuals who were managed to stay warm by, you know, building a fireplace or whatever. You know, it taking us back to some of the basic roots of common sense, to where you know how to grow your own food, you know how to stay warm, you know what to do and what not to do to stay safe. These are things that are becoming lost arts, such as the Native American Indians and their medicines that they used before. There were doctors that they went to or grocery stores that they went to. They fed themselves. They took care of each other. And now the generations coming up after us aren't. They don't know all that stuff, you know? Ask, there's some, I've seen it where there are actually, there are actually men, new young men, that can't even change a wheel on a tire off a car. If they get a flat tire, they got to call for help because they don't know how to change a doggone tire. They're not mechanically inclined. They don't know enough about that piece of machinery that they're driving around to get it from point A to point B if there's a problem. And so, to me, that poses a big problem for the future generations who are going to be raised up, who are going to be dumbed down yet even further. If you go to ask an adult 20 years from now how to do something, are they even going to have a clue? They're going to look for guys out here like us, old antique guys out here. Hey, do you remember?
Oh, yes. We do.
Well, if time travel is possible, isn't it a little naive to think for 1 second that there aren't people coming back in time and mucking with us?
Yeah, that's highly possible.
Sure,
why not? What do you think? Maybe CERN is the stepping stone to the future of how they started creating a havoc. I don't know, man. I'm just speculating at this time because I couldn't even tell you whether the Earth is flat, whether it's round. I've never been into space, so I couldn't tell you what's out there and what ain't. All I know is the information that's been compiled down here and given to me, some of which, you know, I was taught things in science class back in the kids that now are being contradicted by mainstream media sources and science guys that, you know, are telling me stupid stuff when I'm sitting there and they'll say, well, that won't work, but I'm sitting here watching it work right before me and I'm showing all the other mice in the maze, look, this works. They said it didn't work.
I see our history. I see all our history is being destroyed and rewritten.
Yeah.
And so somebody's changing the past.
Well,
and rewriting the future.
Yeah, but stone history is always written by the winners. The losers have never written a word down that anybody's ever paid any attention to.
Well, what if you're tired of playing the game? Can you get out the? Can you get out? Can you opt out of the
game? You can't. Try going on the game.
I don't know. I always said that. I'm sitting at a poker table, let's say, and I'm playing a game of poker, and I find out that there are people sitting at that table cheating. Why can I not pick up my chips and leave the game?
Well, that's the question.
And that's
kind of
where we are today, is we're sitting in a game, we're in a game, and we know without a doubt there are people cheating. Now, if I'm not allowed to pick up my chips and leave the game, then guess what? I'm going to shoot the cheater. You know, that's the way it was in the old West when you were playing a game of poker. You shot the cheater.
Well, we got to figure out a solution in order to save our sanity and to move our future generations into a decent world as opposed to what we're seeing. And I think that's the reason why, if none of us cared, if not one of you guys out there cared about what was going on out there, you wouldn't waste your time with this conversation. I mean, this isn't just a pastime for me. For me, it's personal.
No, that's right.
Because
I
got grandchildren.
I don't care about myself.
I got grandchildren to
think
about.
That's why I'm doing this, citizens, and I will say that I'm not in this for money. I'm not in this for fame or fortune. I'm in this because if we don't change it, I mean, my grandparents should have changed it, and they didn't. And my parents should have changed it or done something about it. They didn't. We're doing something about it, and we have to change it for our grandchildren because I don't want my grandchildren to look back on me the way I look on my grandfather and say, why didn't you do something about this?
Yeah, otherwise our future generations must continue to run the maze, the same maze that we've ran all of our lives, looking for the doggone government cheese. You know, there's a couple individuals out there, I'm not even going to waste time even naming them, but pretty much they're selling snake oil, and I told them the emperor has no clothes, man, because everybody's standing around, they don't want to say nothing. They don't want to say it, tell them that the king is standing there butt naked. They don't want to say it because they don't want to be out of line as far as everybody else. You know, I got to agree with everybody else. I like those individuals out there who refuse to agree with everybody else just because. I like the individuals out there who are climbing the walls of the maze as opposed to going down there. You know, I'd kick the rule book to the curb. If it got something done.
I've said it forever. I've said it forever. The day we all...
It'll ring a bell and they'll say something like, to the extent that what Stone Lee was talking about, you know, why didn't you do something? And they said, well, there were some folks out there who were trying to do just that. You know what I mean?
She says, yeah. I want my Soylent cheese.
Yeah, well, I don't want a soybean burger.
Soylent cheese. Cheese on Soylent Green.
I don't want cheese that tastes like an old rubber boot. I want cheese that tastes like cheese. I want good old natural cheese that nature had provided and, you know, good wholesome food. I don't want to glow in the dark. I got to take a breath.
Well, it's a bit like the Monty Python cheese.
We kind of have to go backwards. We're trying to go forwards, and we're not. In some ways, I think we have to go backwards.
Well, I agree with you to the extent.
I think we've been going back.
I agree with you to the extent of going backwards, as far as getting back down to where you take your shoes off and you stand in the grass, you know, getting closer with nature and building your house to be more natural friendly. But I don't agree with the whole, you know, militarized kind of environmentalist thing, you know, go out there and picket, save the trees with a wooden sign kind of ignorance. It's got to be common sense. It's got to be, you know, knowledge-based, so when the power goes out, you can still build a fire and keep your family warm, and you can still feed them with things that, you know, aren't there. Because I got to play this one song here. And so, you know, with that said, you know, the whole trick about the maze down there, the whole trick about the matrix that we find ourselves in, it's going to be a rough struggle to get where we think we should be. But we can't just... I can't. I don't know about y'all. I'll speak for myself for a second. But I can't fall into the norm. I can't believe things just because
somebody
tells me.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
Yeah. I can't believe things just because the book says. If the book says, I'm going to question the book, and if people want to question the book with me, there's plenty of room on top of this maze on the wall, because I'm not getting back down into the box. I'm going to try to do what I can to make this world a better place, because I got grandchildren, and I love my grandchildren. I want to see them living in a world that's not full of bombs and bullets and craziness going on, you know, where they got some good chance at a decent future, you know. Those who did pay what they did pay for us, you know, we owe them our thanks for some things, but some of the things that they dropped the ball on, you understand what I'm trying to say. So with that said, you guys got any last thing you want to say to people real quick? Anybody? Go around the table there? Stone?
Fresh foods. Yeah, fresh foods. Mushrooms. You want more alkaline water than acidic water, go ahead, do that guerrilla gardening, get some comfrey, get some pumpkin seeds, just throw random native seeds out, be good and eat with one another.
And how, brother?
Love. Hey, man, that's all I've got to say. We need love. Love, it's all, that's what it is, and we, that's what we need to use.
I agree, brother. What about you, Barry?
Right, I'm with Winston Churchill on this one. It will be long and hard. There will be many ups and downs, but there will be no withdrawal.
Amen, brother.
Time
from the beaches of Normandy.
Good phrase. Time's getting short, guys.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. Time is getting very short. The changes that we need to make now have to be done now. We don't have another generation to deal with the issues we see arising on the planet. We could talk about everything we want to talk about, but if we don't have a planet to live on, if we don't have a planet that's going to sustain life, we have nothing. And right now, I see our planet collapsing. The planet is an incredibly, incredibly diverse mechanism, an absolute miracle of creation by God, but it has its boundaries, and right now I believe we're pushing it to its limits, and it's going to snap, and all of a sudden we are going to see things unfold on this planet like we've never seen before in human history. We must address these issues now. We don't have a lot of time, guys.
They're much, much better than those that don't. Start getting into it and wake the heck up.
Amen. So everybody out there, while you're navigating the maze out there, remember that there are voices of common sense out here on the fence that are hollering down at you, hey, come up here, look around, see the big picture, that kind of stuff. Keep the hope and the faith alive, and keep the love going and spreading out all over the world. So, you know, with that said, then we're going to run over a bit. I got to play this one song by Boston because it's exactly what I'm talking about. All I want out of this life for me and my family and my future generations, my grandchildren and such, is a little peace of mind. It's a really good song as far as I'm concerned. I hope you all enjoy it. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody.
Now if you feel that
lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
Lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up.
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up.
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant.
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three knots where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. No, we're top and table, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to fill the table and the knights of the round table.